The Football Pod with Paddy and Andy.
If you're over 30 in a football, that's half your age hitting the digs. Those lads are out partying at St. William Street later that night. I'm going home to have an ice bath.
Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.
The OTB Podcast Network with GetZetGo. Car insurance is boring, but saving money bounces it into brilliance. Enter promo code SPORT and save €40 off your car insurance with GetZetGo.ie.
41 minutes past 8 this morning. I'm delighted to say David Brady is with us. David, good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning. How's things, Jar?
You're Mystic Meg. You were the only one who went public with the notion that you thought the Cluxton era was over. You took quite a bit of heat for it, but you were right.
I took some slack and I was told to get back into my box the following day. Kieran Kilkenny came out the following day and said he was part of the panel, and he made me look like a gobshite. But I kind of gone, but I was confident. And look at the reality. If you, as I said at the piece, when you put all the pieces of the picture together at that stage of the year and everything else, but I don't have the answers. But I do feel that he hasn't retired, and. That would probably be the easy way out, and I don't know, but it's not a positive from a Dublin perspective, and that filters down, because he has been their leader, he has been their role model, he has been their captain, and Stephen Cluxton is the epitome of everything that's been good about Dublin for the last decade, and he's not there, and there's a reason behind it.
Do you think he comes back next year, or do you think he's done for good?
Honestly, there's something going on, and a man once said to me when I wasn't on the best of terms, or we just didn't see eye to eye with John Mahon, he said you got to realise, David, that you'd be there a lot longer than John Mahon, and it kind of made sense. But on the Stephen Cluxton point, Stephen won't be, you know, Desi's there for the next 2 to 3, 4 years, no matter what, Dublin will have confidence in Desi. And that means that Stephen won't outlive that length of time by sitting on the sidelines or not being part of the panel. I think something will happen, and I would love, and I think it would be fitting to see Stephen Cluxton end his career on a pitch and through the medium of a game and championship. And for that respect to be given to him, it's well deserved, more than most footballers in the history of the GAA, he deserves it. And I think this year is just maybe there's a statement of intent from Stephen, and I think he could be back next year when things are smoothed over. And if you ask me one thing, right, the values that Dublin have held to their heart and to the core of what they are as footballers over the last decade is very much representative of Stephen Cluxton and the players that's played with him. I do think that them values were probably dinted or probably lowered by the training, behind closed doors training. And I don't think that sat well with Stephen. And I don't think he said it represented the values that Dublin have lived by and played by.
Do you accept that, though? But so one thing, right, and Andy McEntee in the aftermath of the game wished well to the three Dublin footballers who obviously were injured in the, you know, tongue-in-cheek, criticising them for going down. But if you remember, as you would, of course, against Mayo, when David Clark goes to put the ball on the tee in stoppage time, five or six of the Dublin lads rugby tackled their opponents to the ground, and everybody said it should have been five or six black cards. But there's a level of gamesmanship and pushing everything to the boundaries, physicality, the rules, whatever it is, within the Dublin setup, with the aim of winning All Irelands, of harvesting All Irelands. And in a way, training while other people aren't training is actually in keeping with that, despite all the stuff about, you know, our values are like, we're this wider than white team, because they're not. That's not how you become the greatest team of all time.
By Jizz Jars, they've been white as white off the pitch to a degree. And what goes on past the white lines, the immense is you have no values. And you shouldn't as a competitive sports person. The values don't really come into it when you cross the white line, when that ball is thrown up. And that's the truth. And that's not being disrespected to any individual. But there is a certain set of values as a player that you live by. Are you trying and go by when you're off the pitch and when you're crossed, when you're outside of the pitch, outside of the hustle and bustle? And by Jez, there's no one, whether it's someone in Dublin, Carlow, Leitrim, or Mayo, that you'll do everything when the ball is on the pitch and when you're on the pitch. And you can't really have values. I think it was a Paolo Di Canio that catch a ball coming into the square, and
yeah,
you know, that's once in a lifetime you see these things happening. But bar that, there's everyone's an enemy on the pitch. But it is very much a virtue of the way the successful teams of this world live by, that they become good people, and by that they live by a certain set of values and morals off the pitch. Don't mind what goes on the pitch. Man City Dublin did exactly what Mayo should have done in that All-Ireland final by pulling down 10 or 15 fellas and kicking the ball off the tee. And look at Man City's Lee Keegan through the GPS. And there's no rules on the pitch except the referee, and he's the only one. But I think that's a major part of it.
Okay, and look, we obviously await with bated breath some kind of official communication from Stephen Cluxton about what's going on.
He'll probably come out tomorrow now and say he's coming back.
Well, it would be a pattern at least, David. It would be
a pattern. Yeah. I stirred the hornet's nest.
Definitely, last time. Okay, with that all in mind, and Tommy keeps totting up the number of All-Ireland medals that step out week on week on week on week, and it's literally been every week since the championship started, a bunch of All-Ireland medals have been taken off the table from a Dublin perspective, with more last week when Lowndes went. Are Mayo thinking, notwithstanding the fact that Killian's not fit this year, are they thinking, Jesus, lads, this is, it's right? No. No. Why not?
No, because you're playing Galway on Sunday at 1:30. And they're the biggest enemy you'll ever have as a Mayo man. And by this, if you're thinking two steps ahead, are you even having a little dream to yourself in the sun when you're eating your ice cream in the last week? Not a chance. Not a chance. And that's very much, everyone knows that. Everyone knows that from the supporters' point of view to the players and across the border in Galway as well. There's no one looking at anything else but this game on Sunday. And again, it is a massive, massive rivalry. And probably for me, the only constant rivalry over the last number of years, decades, 20, 30 years, because there's never been a trouncing. There's been trouncings in league games and whatnot, but Mayo and Galway, there is that real raw reality of football and rivalry and provincial rivalry and down, look at its hatred. Hate losing. We don't hate Galway people, and Galway people don't hate Mayo, but we hate losing against them. And every single game, if you look back, no matter when Mayo were on the crest of a wave or when Galway were, you know, favourites to top of Mayo, there's only been a kick. There's only been a score. And what does it come down to? And maybe it's just the two teams are very evenly balanced. But if you look at the championship record, Mayo have progressed massively further over the last decade versus Galway. But it comes down to rivalry and that intensity to win. And no team would be looking at maybe a weakened or maybe not a strong Dublin in the semi-final. This is a massive game. And it's in Croke Park. I don't know, someone said 98 years. I don't know why it was there 98 years ago, but the Connacht final in Croke Park on Sunday. A lot of people are saying, you know, it should be back in Castlebar, and look, there's pros and cons, and that it'd be good for the retailers and it'd bring a crowd. But I have to say, I think it's a good decision, and in the overall context of things, that you allow 18,000 people approximately into Croke Park to see a game that. That is really, really going to be, no matter, probably mightn't live up to the hype, the quality of the games we've seen in Ulster. Probably mightn't live up to the quality of the game we might see in Kerry and Cork, but it is going to be relentless, and there's going to be damn well in it, and that's the most used cliche you'll ever hear with a Mayo Galway. There'll be only kick of a ball in it, because that's what it's proven down to the statistics over the last 10 years.
Absolutely, and you're dead right, and nobody is disputing that this game on Sunday is already decided or anything like that. But if Mayo win, if they win on Sunday and they manage to come through what will be a massive test, they will have got a win in Croke Park and will then more than likely be coming up against a Dublin team with all those absences. as a fan, and I'm not saying what James Horne has been thinking about, as a fan and as a Mayo man, David, has the ultimate success entered your mind at one point or another this year?
George asked me that 2 minutes ago, and I said no. Brody fuck.
I'm talking about you, though, not as the
yeah. Honestly, no. No, okay. No, because man says people are, man says when have we been talking down Dublin or spotting weaknesses in them and everything else? And no, because you couldn't. And sure, man says we keep dreaming, but we're not dreaming about a semi-final against a weakened Dublin team or not playing to the full of the potential. And they know that, but no, man, I honestly, I can't wait for Sunday. But it's great to go back to Croke Park. It's great to go back as a supporter. I can't wait for it because it's a massive game. Massive game because, look at you say, oh, we're Mayo tested. No, but sure, that man says you can only play against what you're playing. Roscommon and Galway, you know, for me, I think the likes of Matty Tierney, he's a fine footballer. He is the new generation along with the Shane Walshes. Will Shane Walsh play? I'm looking forward to seeing the likes of Matty Rowan, Matty Tierney. Like they're the two best up and coming footballers in the country. But it's not going to come down to the young fellas or to the Aidan O'Shea's. It's going to come down to the likes of Owen O'Donoghue or Conor Loftus from a Mayo perspective, from a consistency and free taking and scoring point of view. How they can attribute that. Tommy Conroy is back in Croke Park from a Mayo perspective, after not having a very one of his better games. It's a big challenge for Tommy because this is the opportunity to set his mark on the All Ireland Championship 2021. I think he's a fantastic talent, but from a Galway perspective, you wouldn't be writing them off. You wouldn't be saying, you know, they had bad league performances. They had a trouncing by Tyrone. Look. You know, there's been a lot of heavy defeats over the last 12 months since COVID. We rejoined the COVID championship, but Joyce again. Right? There's nothing more. There's nothing more. The Pádraig Joyce that we want to win a Connacht championship, to beat Mayo. But yeah, it would be from a Mayo perspective. I'm confident, not very confident. I'm confident that Mayo have the capability to cross the line. I like the way that the likes of young guys like Darren McHale has been introduced. Got a brace of goals there against Leitrim again, and a debutant from the Not More team, the county champions in Mayo. There's some nice footballers coming through, and I think that it's a great opportunity on Sunday.
It's interesting that you describe Galway as the biggest rival, the borderline hatred of Mayo, because listening to Frankie Dolan a couple of weeks ago, I thought Roscommon were the team who had that in Mayo's heart, or that special place.
Go not on. At all. Frankie was trying to sell a book. Not a chance. We hated losing against Roscommon because you have to listen to them for 12 months. but we didn't hate Roscommon. But you have the Ballyhadrine, the Ballyhadrine
colonization, annexation, yeah, invasion.
Yeah. What did they call it? Is it Beirut or something? But the Gaza Strip, I think they call it. It is, no, the rivalry, and let me tell you, no matter what, you look back, it is that Galway rivalry. And I think one of the greatest, I had a conversation with an old man during the winter, and he says his greatest day ever in football was when Mayo beat Galway in 1965 after Galway had won the three All-Irelands in a row, I think it was, and Mayo bet them up in Salt Hill. He said that was the greatest day ever, he says, because we put them down again on that pedestal. No longer were they the three in a row. He said once we had bet them on that day, they were nothing. And that's what it is in football. If you get your win over your rival, no matter what they won 12 months previous or 12 years previous, you can look over the wall and say we're better than you. And that's, you know, and I'd always be saying the kind of, you know, the provincial championship, and we've seen the very worst of it in the last few weeks. But we've also seen the very best of it, because that rivalry is there and alive and well, and it'll be resurrected on Sunday.
Did you ever make peace with Mon?
Of course I did. Yeah.
And was it straightforward?
Of course it was. Man says it's two men saying how is things and shaking hands. That's like everything else. That's like everything else. And you know what? To be honest with you, and I don't think it's a major falling out between Desi and Stephen, but someone will bring someone together. There'll be some conduit. There'll be some man in the middle. And there's plenty of them in Dublin. There's plenty of them in Dublin GA. They say, look, will you have a coffee or will you sit down? Will you have a chat? And if you look at the two individuals, and I'd have known Desi over the years, Desi's a very easy guy to get on with. Maybe he made a mistake as a manager. I'd be the first to admit it. But yeah, there's always a man that will bring men together and say, look it, and says, do it for the good and do it for the better of what it is. And that's GAA and that's your county.
And when's your book coming, DB?
My book, I'm still writing it, Ger. I'm still writing it. My old spelling isn't great. And it's probably with the solicitors for the last 12 years.
Well,
I'll write one. You'll get a good mention.
The black market copy, the one that that can't be published for legal reasons, that one would be very popular on WhatsApp, I'll tell you that.
It'd be like the Madonna. Remember the Madonna book years ago with the tinfoil across it? You couldn't go into the shop and have a go at it. You had to, that's about 20 years ago. But anyway, that's showing me age.
What was it called, DB?
Madonna.
Owen's too young for this. He doesn't remember
the
scandal.
Really cool, yes, as we speak.
Not safe for work, Owen. Safe for work.
Yeah. Have a Google. That was big. That was big back then. But
the book was called Sex by Madonna. That's what the book was actually called. Yeah.
Right. But my book won't be called Sex by Brady. It'll be something different.
On that note.
Boys, enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the sun.
Thanks a million, DB. You too. Enjoy the game. That's David Brady livening up our mornings this morning here on OTB AM. Did you Google that?
I did. Madonna's sex book for sale on eBay for €46.76.
That's pretty cheap. I thought that it would have gone up in value.
Yeah, so did I.
The Sunday newspapers around the time used the opportunity to rip pictures from it to sell papers. So it was like, this is high art. But actually, it was just their excuse to get some nudity into the Sunday papers. It's 8:58 this morning. A lot to unpack in that. I mean, we shouldn't just move straight away, should we?
No, we shouldn't. Like, I mean, there is a lot. There's a lot there. I'm like really excited for Galway against Mayo, which I know is kind of probably low down the list of priorities on the back of that conversation, but it somehow made me feel even more excited for that fixture than I already was.
Right, okay. OTBM brought to you by Gillette. Good morning, start with Gillette. Put your best face forward with their new and improved razors. Episode 11 of the Football Pod with Paddy and Andy is available to download and listen to right now. The first place to get the podcast every week is the OTB Sports app. You can get that for free in your app store. Subscribe in the OTB GAA feed or the Football Pod with Paddy and Andy, wherever you get it to listen to your podcast. There's a fresh episode of Paddy Andrews, Andy Moran and Tommy every Wednesday.
The Football Pod with Paddy and Andy.
If you're over 30 in football, that's half your age hitting the digs. Those lads are out partying at St. William Street later that night. I'm going home to have an ice bath.
Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.
The OTB Podcast Network with GetZetGo. Car insurance is boring, but saving money bounces it into brilliance. Enter promo code SPORT and save €40 off your car insurance with GetZetGo.ie.